Carter Williams is just going to hold the ball and dribble this one out. 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 1 second, and call it. Ball game over. And Dwayne Casey, now the winningest coach in franchise history for the Toronto Raptors.
I appreciate all the players that's been here. You know, DeMar DeRozan has been here through the whole number of wins. We started, as Drake says, started at the bottom. We're not there yet.
We got next. This is Free Association with Dave Zarum and J.D. Bunkus.
All right, welcome to Free Association. This is Sportsnet's weekly Raptors and NBA podcast.
And now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
And now an actual radio show. Check it out. How about that?
Unbelievable that this would happen. By the way, anytime you can get a Drake reference from Dwayne Casey, that's gold.
It is gold. And you know what? I think he's dead on with that too. Not quite there yet, but you got to like what you've seen so far. I'm Dave Zarum. I'm Sportsnet's NBA editor. Alongside me, as always, J.D. Bunkus, producer on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. J.D., man, how you doing?
Good. What do you think Casey's next reference is? You think Wu-Tang Forever? Cake? I love you. Cake. Cake. Cake.
Probably Wu-Tang. Maybe he goes a little old school. Maybe Regulator, Warren G.
I was thinking more just like
sipping
the
drink.
Because,
you know, he's regulating everyone's minutes. Did you get that?
Yeah, I got it.
Just making sure you picked up on it.
I was thinking more he was just going to stick with the Drake stuff for now.
Let's not bury the lead here, okay? Norman Powell saw the court for the first time in his NBA career.
That was big news.
All right, I guess that's not the lead. How about this? The Raptors are undefeated and maybe a couple wins away from getting that Team of Destiny tag.
I think that's a little... No? By a couple wins, you mean like 25 wins?
All right, let me try again. How about this? It's Jalen Rose Day on Free Association.
That's the lead. We got Jalen Rose.
Pretty excited about that. We're going to have Jalen on later in the show talking all things Raptors back in his day and about the current club. Really looking forward to that. Also on today's show, Terrence Ross is sticking around for a little while. We're going to break down his extension. Plus, we are going to break down everything that's happened in the Raptors season so far and look ahead to what should be a pretty challenging road trip for this club.
Yeah, next 10 to 12 games on the road. Not a bunch of easy ones, that's for sure. And, you know, Raptors have faced a couple of kind of lighter or a light schedule to open up their season.
It's been pretty easy so far.
So it'll be good to get them off to a good test this year. I'm ready to get things started. Are you?
Definitely. First, I just want to mention, if you're in Toronto on Thursday, you need to get yourself to Tall Boys because we're going to be doing a live taping of Free Association. And if you have plans on Thursday, here's my suggestion. Cancel them. It's pretty easy. Yeah, check out, Google it. Check it out. It's Hoop Talks live at Tall Boys. If you type in JD's name, Bunkus, you get a free ticket. Free ticket, free beer, free association.
Yours as well. Yeah, ready to go? Free steam whistle, get into the building, watch some Hoop Talks, chat with us.
You can't say no to that, and you can't say no to the rest of this show, which is coming up right now.
Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, voice of the Chicago Bulls. You're listening to Free Association. Onions, baby onions!
All right, this is Free Association. I'm Dave Zarum. He's J.D. Bunkus. So, J.D., 3 games into the Raptors season. Plenty to like. There's not that much not to like. You know, you touched on it at the beginning. I think the competition has been pretty subpar so far. I don't know if we're seeing too many...
The 3 teams they've played so far are 1-8 to start the season. So
there you go.
I mean, that's not...
And it feels like it watching those games.
Yeah, it's not really the gauntlet. We kind of thought, I think... Like the Celtics were going to be a bit tougher. The Bucks were like a really sexy team coming into this season, but again, they're not fully healthy. They don't have Jabari Parker, but still, kind of a little bit disappointing.
They looked really
lackluster so far. Yeah, I remember their opening game of the season. We're thinking like, oh, this is they'll be fine. They'll figure it out. Now I'm kind of looking at them, and not to be too overreactionary, but like they need Jabari Parker back. Like they need another guy in that lineup that can score, and that's the same problem they had last year. Guys, their balls tended to stagnate a little bit. They didn't really have guys that could finish. They added Greg Monroe, which was pretty nice. But that other piece, Jabari Parker, they need him to come back really soon.
And, you know, as much as that team, you know, Antetokounmpo is the funnest part about that team. But, you know, going forward, I think Parker is their future. That's the guy who's going to get them deeper in the playoffs or not. As much as we all love the Greek freak.
Well, he better be.
All right. So, listen, 3-0, clearly this team is heading for the NBA Finals.
We know everything we needed to know. Everything has been, everything's sealed.
So let's put it this way. Okay, so we're this far into the season. JD, if you can tell me one thing you've liked so far above everything else from what you've seen.
It's the new additions. I mean, it kind of has to be. So far, I think each one of those names that the Raptors have brought in this season has shown exactly why Toronto targeted them. I love Carroll. I mean, he's...
Can't say enough about Carroll.
He's shooting at 42% clip so far from deep. I mean, you feel that confidence when he shoots the ball right now. And he knows where to go. Like, they brought it up in the broadcast, but it's like he's very excellent off the ball in terms of finding where he needs to be on the floor to get that open three-point shot, to alleviate guys like Lowry or Joseph who are cutting to the basket as a off-ball cutter to be able to find a good spot to catch and finish.
Yeah, you don't see him kind of just kind of lounging around there like someone like a Lance Stephenson or something.
No, and he's rebounding the ball well, and especially on the offensive end. He's a very good offensive rebounder, knows for the ball, and he's their top defender. I mean, and you saw that no better than in that first game against Indiana. Paul George was 4 of 17 from the field.
That's right.
And then he's griping about calls at the end of the game. It's like, no, you're frustrated because Damari Carroll is good.
Paul George is griping about not getting calls, and Damari Carroll after the game was griping about not diving into the stands enough.
Exactly.
To his liking.
I love Carroll so far. He looks great. Corey Joseph has actually been kind of a pleasant surprise. I don't mind him in the crunch time lineup, but when he first kind of ran him out there, I was not crazy about it, but he's another ball handler, another guy that facilitates movement in the offense.
I'm glad you brought that up because that five, that to me is clearly the Raptors' best five right now, is Lowry, Joseph, DeRozan, Carroll, JV. I mean, that's I'm cool if that's your crunch time five for the foreseeable future.
We could see a few different variations. I think that Patterson, the way that he's played so far, has at least jumped into the conversation as that other guy that you could have on the floor during crunch time. But yeah, right as of right now, it seems to me that having all those guys that can handle the ball, and Joseph, who's a guy that doesn't need to have it but can create something and is looking to facilitate, is a pass-first guy, that's a big plus for the Raptors right now. And then, you know, the other guys, which is like Biombo, not exactly a pleasure to watch when he's trying to finish.
Can I just see, he is a pleasure as a human being. He's like the nicest guy on earth, the funnest guy to be around. But yeah, when he has the ball in his hands, it's pretty
rough. He's got hands of stone. Like, there's a reason that he had to take as little money as he did, but
it's kind of interesting. Like with that in mind, he does have hands of stone. I remember being at practice last week, and afterwards, after it had wrapped up, everyone's gone. All the players are gone. And it's just Jamal McGlure and Bismack Biyombo in the weight room doing these like drills with medicine balls. Like different ways of palming medicine balls and throwing them and catching them all with one hand.
That's how my workouts looked.
But you got to think, I mean, solely they're thinking like, dude, like these hands are a problem. You need to work on
this.
I
don't know if they're fixing them. And it's okay because the way that he protects the rim is, I mean, when's the last time the Raptors had anybody like this dude? Like he's fantastic down there. And you see this sometimes when the Raptors get beat off the dribble and guys penetrate down the hole and Biyombo's down there, he's a force. And like he's going to collect some fouls because of it, but ultimately, like good body control, love the way that he protects the rim, and a good rebounder. I've really liked what I've seen from Biyombo so far. And then last but not least, Scola, who you called it right from the jump that you thought this guy would be in the starting lineup, and so far,
which is more about Patterson than it is about Scola. But you know, I mean, I just think Patterson's a nicer fit off the bench than in that starting five, just given who's in that lineup. And Scola, we've seen him fit and contribute. He's not scoring 20 a game. But he's doing his job.
You mentioned it last week was the crafty count, and I really do want to start collecting and counting.
You've heard a lot so far.
How many? Yeah, well, they were calling him crafty last night in the broadcast, and I was laughing because I was like, man, I wonder if like we really should set like a season over under of how many times Skull is going to get called crafty.
I'd love to play like some kind of compilation.
Yeah,
the
and then just clip. Yeah, and keep them all. If our competitor didn't have half the games, it would be a lot easier. But we definitely have to get the crafty count going on Louis Skull. He looks like he's running in mud. Like, he really does. And he had the most awkward, like, bench celebration I've maybe ever seen where I can't remember who it was that
I think I
jumped
it.
In to celebrate with him. It might have been James Johnson, but he just, instead of, you know, guys jump into each other and they collide, and Scola just, like, jumped, like, very sheepishly. Nah, sheepishly isn't the gingerly. That's
there
the word.
There you go, yeah.
Very gingerly and just barely did the tap in the jump celebration. So I'm
a
big fan of his.
As a 36-year-old vet would do.
But, like, he is crafty, and he's, like, a sneaky good rebounder. He's got a lot of moves in the post. He's very patient down there, and I think that's where he gets That's where he gets away with some of his athletic deficiencies. So, yeah, for me, the thing I love has been the additions. I think that everybody so far through three games, again, it's three games, and 1-8 is the record of the teams you've played. But so far,
But I would echo what you're saying. I mean, specifically Carroll. I'm blown away by just how much he's impacting this team. We talked about it before. We talked about how everyone is underrating just how big of an addition this is. And he's exceeded even our lofty expectations. Just, I mean, it's not just the numbers. You mentioned the off ball. It's the way he kind of, the effect he has behind the scenes in the locker room. I mean, you just know it's speaking to these guys. And you see it out on the court. It's been really cool to see. Just got a few minutes here. What don't you like? So far,
the turnovers, I would say, would be the thing that's there.
You think that's just kind of early season, not jitters, but, you know, rust?
I think there's part of it. I think that it's like we just mentioned, that there's two new guys in the starting lineup. Like, they are still getting used to each other. They're still learning each other's tendencies. But there have been some sloppy stretches. The first half of that Indiana game was, like, truly painful to watch. But, yeah, so far 2021, and then last night they curbed them a little bit with the 13 turnovers. Mm-hmm. Having two of your three games so far with over 20 turnovers, like, that's not really great. And if you do that against, again, some of the teams that they're going to be facing on that road trip, OKC, yeah, Miami, Golden State, you start turning the ball over like that, there's not really a way to come back from it. So I would say the turnovers are kind of bothering me a little bit. That's the one thing that they really need to cut down on so far.
One guy who I think we need to single out, and again, we only got a couple minutes, is Jonas Valanciunas.
Have to.
He's just been so impressive. What I wonder is how much of this is a case of the Raptors. Do you have his numbers in front of you? He's just been killing it. I wonder how much is a case of the team and Casey and his teammates making an emphasis to get him involved more. You know, we saw the first play of the first game of the season was a dump into Valanciunas. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that kind of concerted effort to make him a bigger part of the team, or if it's just, like he says, just he's just kind of finding those opportunities and they're available to him, so he's taking advantage.
The last year, I think one thing we did see with JV was that they did try to get him involved early, but then they would go away from him later in games. Now, at least it seems like they're a bit more committed to giving JV the ball down low.
Part of that, in fairness, I think, is the departure of Amir Johnson really, really opened those minutes up for Valanciunas. I mean, I don't know who else you'd put in his place because of Biombo's kind of a, you know, his faults offensively. He's a hard guy to just leave out there. So you go with JV.
No doubt about it. And the one thing I'll say is, like, he did have the one down game a bit against the Celtics. And again, Greg Monroe, not exactly known for his interior defense. So when he ate him That's up right. alive, and then he's in there against Plumlee, which he's also feasting on. Although I liked what he did.
He feasts on centers, period. Plumlee, Joakim Noah, it doesn't matter.
He was smart in his offensive approach to both guys. With Plumlee, he backed Plumlee down low, and then he's doing little fades over him. Monroe, he's eating him up inside. He's spinning around him. He's getting his hook off. He's finishing at the rim. All nice. I said this year that his attempts need to creep over 10, and they have in two of those games. Mm-hmm. And his usage percentage, that was the other thing we talked about. Last year, he was down like around, what was it? I think he couldn't be around 19%, which is what he was at last year.
Yeah.
They weren't using him enough. Now he's already creeped up over 20%. He's around 22.
Positive.
That's a positive sign for a guy through first three games. So, yeah, you got to be happy about JV.
You wonder what's a positive sign for this show?
The fact that we have Jalen Rose coming up.
The fact that people can find us on iTunes, the podcast version of this show.
You must subscribe.
Subscribe, leave comments. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Dave Zarum, at JD Bunkus. You know, I just kind of want to get to this. We're going to talk about...
Got to give the people what they want, and that's Jalen Rose. We got to get to it.
So let's do it. Let's do it right now.
And that's Jalen Rose, who's coming up after the break on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and iTunes.
Hi, this is Muggsy Bogues. When I wake up in the morning, I'm listening to Free Association.
All right, welcome to Free Association. Right now, it is time to give the people what they want, and that is the name of the new book from our next guest, Gotta Give the People What They Want, written by 13-year NBA vet, fellow podcaster, and now author, Jalen Rose. Jalen, what's going on, man?
Got to give the people what they need. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Hey, man, I read the book. It was excellent. We got the advanced copy. It was really awesome. I think I tore through it in about 3 days. Like, really entertaining read. I don't think Bill Simmons over-exaggerated when he talked about your life. It was a fascinating read. So, first of all, congratulations, man. It was really great.
Thank you. I appreciate the support.
I appreciate the feedback that I've gotten from the book. People seem to really appreciate the honesty, me being uncut and unfiltered. That's what I wanted to do. I looked at writing the book at this point in my life almost like a rebirth. Whatever happened before that day, I'm just going to exhale and I'm going to let it out. You think I'm proud to tell the world I peed in the bed until I was in fourth grade? I put all my business in the street.
That's the way to go. Listen,
there were some flattering stories in there, too. There were some good ones. It wasn't all just pee bed and rock teeth. There was more than that.
Listen, Jalen, man. Yeah, I mean, like, there's so many stories to go through, and that's obviously another reason to write a book like this is because, I mean, nobody's got stories like you in the NBA. I mean, after all those years. Here in Toronto, obviously, there's some really famous stories we all know about. But, I mean, I got to say, for me, you own my favorite quote in Raptors history, and that would be after they traded Vince Carter and the media's telling you about it in the scrum, and you go, oh, who'd we get, Richard Jefferson?
Not quite.
I mean, listen. Yeah,
you
not
got
not
to play
quite.
With the Williams brothers, though. Like, that was pretty close.
But see, here's the thing about that. And by the way, I loved my time in Toronto. Yeah. You know, being a Detroit native, and being exposed to the culture, I still have many friends in the T-Dot to this day. Mm-hmm. I need to sneak back over there for Carabana or whatnot, but that's another subject for another day.
Yeah.
But listen, I mean, when you talk about your time in Toronto, I mean, it's you use the term all the time, classic test your professionalism material. And I mean, there's just like time after time, I can think of like a dozen examples off the top of my head that Richard Jefferson quote kind of illustrating one of them. I mean, when you look back on your time here, great on one hand, but it must have been frustrating on another.
You know, the trials and tribulations of an NBA veteran.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Sorry for my pregnant pause before I was actually walking in the building, and people don't care if you're talking on the telephone. And I actually said, not only should we have gotten Richard Jefferson, we should have gotten Jason Kidd, mm-hmm. especially at a time when the team knew that Alonzo Mourning was going to refuse to play for us.
Yeah, exactly.
It just so that was frustrating. And again, like I said, I love the fans, but and I had a great time there. But one, I think the most frustrating part was the time I felt like we had a really good team and I broke my hand in the Golden State game. Mm-hmm. And so we were like a 500 team. I felt like we were going to make the playoffs. And that was the Kevin O'Neal season. So that was disappointing. But again, being in Toronto and seeing how the team has grown, I mean, the changes that they've made. It started with Tim Leiweke.
Yeah.
And then he hires Masai Ujiri, a GM. And before you know it, Casey becomes the guy on the sideline. And that always plays into the dominoes of what you see on the court. They've improved the basketball team immensely, a consistent playoff-caliber team. Now it's up to them to see if they can become a contending team.
One of the quotes I love the most from your book, and I think it's even on the jacket, which is just talking about one of the things you wanted to do was start conversations, and the other was start arguments. And just we want to move on from the old Raps days and get your thoughts on some other stuff and some other stories from the book, but I thought your quick write-up on Vince Carter, where you mentioned about Vince being, one, this is where one argument would stem, was that he was the second most talented player that you ever played with after C-Web, and two is that you kind of felt that he did raw a little bit. And last season, there was a lot of, like, Vince got the standing ovation here in Toronto, and there seemed to be a little bit of amends between him and the fan base, but a lot of people still, you know, resent Vince and are still upset with Vince. There was, of course, that story that he gave the Sonics the final play of the game. So you think, like, ultimately, like, looking back on Vince's time here, that, like, he was the guy that ended up with the raw end of the deal?
He did, because the individual, and for him, he's become a veteran. He's the all-time great Raptor in team history. Mm-hmm. You only have one name. As an organization, the faces that were leaking information and were whispering about your character and things away from basketball, most, if not all, of those faces are no longer there.
Yeah.
That's why.
Isn't it?
In longevity. Like, players get to play longer, so your numbers get inflated. Like, so when you put Anton Jameson's numbers up, his 2010 seasons, and how many rebounds and points he has total, as well as Vince Carter, like, those numbers become comparable to players that are in. Like, Vince Carter's all-star games. And I love Reggie Miller and Chris Mullin, my teammates in Indiana. I think he's probably have as many all-star appearances as those two guys combined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had like a 10-year streak going on.
Yeah, so when you take that in consideration, I do think he's going to be in maybe not first ballot like Allen Iverson will be, but Vince Carter definitely will be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and a lot of guys have brought it up, but one of the cool things about Vince is I don't know if there's a guy that went from being a superstar that remodeled his game quite the way that he did to become just a refined role player and that's been able to stretch that career out and do so many different things. The one thing, though, to put to bed with Vince is that you said you're the guy, you were a guy that was on the inside, and you do feel like he was done poorly, but you never looked at Vince once in a while with the injuries and questioned them yourself or questioned, hey, like maybe he's milking this a little bit too much. Maybe he's taking a little bit more time off than we think.
But that's hard to say.
Because I know this. There's a difference between being hurt and injured. When you're injured, you can't go.
Right.
Guys are not trying to get surgeries and be on the training table. That's the equivalent of you showing up at your job late. That's the equivalent of you having to go to HR because you've been undisciplined. Those become dings on your resume, and they affect your bottom line come negotiating time. So players want to be out there and want to be eligible when the game happens. But some players are just more injury-prone than others. It's how it works. And that's a disappointing thing for me right now, what I'm seeing in the game, is that I appreciate, and it started with Coach Pop, five-time champion, the best coach in the league. He has an older basketball team that still found ways to win championships and be in first place. So because of that, I can rest players because we're going for it all, even if they're healthy during the season. I can limit their minutes.
Right.
But as it relates to other players that aren't in teams that aren't as accomplished, it really irritates me because there's no guarantee that you get a 10 to 15 year free run of health. You know, and guys that played, you know, LeBron James has already played more minutes than Magic Johnson and Larry Bird in his young career. Larry Bird, you saw him at the end of his career. He gave it all. He ended up laying on his stomach when he came out of the game, laying on his back when he came out of the game.
That's right.
Like, but now since you're able to extend players' careers, you see a guy like Vince, who came along in both eras, able to reinvent himself, knock down an open three-point shot, and have an 18, 19, 20-year opportunity for a career because of the advances in technology, but also somewhat the coddling of professional athletes.
Yeah, I think that reinvention might be a lot of what gets him in. We're talking to Jalen Rose. Of course, the book has got to give the people what they want, true stories and flagrant opinions from Center Court. Highly recommend everybody pick it up. I want to get back to this current Raptors team a little bit later, but I love like some of the themes in your book, like fate. And one of my favorite things that you always talk about with yourself, you know, getting drafted by the Nuggets, and you know, you probably should have came out a year earlier. But the fate theme, and I wanted to ask you, when you look at the NBA right now, because it's a great rookie class. Like, I know we're only a couple of games in, but it looks like there's some serious players in this group. Like
Kristaps.
Oh, I love
World Star Porzingis.
Yeah, we're big fans of Kristaps Porzingis. He looks great. But Emmanuel Mudiay, who you think might break your
dude, Justice
your
Winslow,
record.
That dunk.
There's tons of guys. I'm curious to hear from you who you think got put in the right situation with the right coaching. And then conversely, the guy that you kind of look at and say, like, damn, you might have gotten unlucky. You might have got the raw deal on this team.
The latter part of that question normally exists amongst the top prospects that I think have an opportunity to go on to be a player. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes where you pick a player can be overrated, but more importantly, if you pick a player high, you expect them to be a productive player instantly. Now, if I'm picking you in the top five, I need you to be a multiple All-Star. Picking you in the top three, I hope you become all NBA at least. Okay, so for this year's class, the positioning almost happened perfect based on who got picked where. Okay, Carl Anthony Towns is going to be perfect in Minnesota to play the five.
Mm-hmm.
With Pekovic or without Pekovic, play alongside KG. He's going to get a lot of mentoring. Rest in peace, Flip Saunders, by the way, their coach who just unfortunately just passed.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be able to grow into his game, and you saw him have a double-double. Jahlil Okafor, 27 big points. He's going to be a go-to guy. He's not going to lead the league in rebounds or shot blocks, but he can turn over both shoulders. He can play facing up. He has good enough ball-handling skills to get one or two spots on the floor, make a short shot, and do up-and-unders under the rim. He's really crafty. Mudiay, he would have got put in the wrong position had he gotten taken by the Knicks. But it's perfect for him to be on the Denver Nuggets. Here's why. He had 11 turnovers. That's the most for a guy in his first game. And they still won. And he was playing point guard. That means he's in the right spot to be able to change ends of the floor, play through his mistakes, and he still had a double-double. So those guys got placed correctly. Now, for this season, it's going to be tough for D'Angelo Russell to get a consistent run because you're playing with Kobe Bryant, who took 24 shots in his 20th season, and he's making $24 million this year. That's going to be a tough dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Williams, who you guys know, can he check with the best of them off the bench?
We saw it in the final play of that Lakers game.
Yep, absolutely. They ran the final play for him. And we know Nick Young's already shooting the ball before the game starts.
He's shooting while we're talking.
So it's going to be tough for him to find his way unless the team just decides that they're going to rein back those other guys' minutes and really allow him and Randle to play a lot of the minutes.
You think that the Kings kind of blew it, though, not taking Moutier? Like, that, to me, the two picks that in that first round look kind of strange to me were the Kings passing on Moutier, and then the other one was, of course, Charlotte passing on Winslow and taking Kaminsky, because that's the other one where I feel like, man, Kaminsky got put in a tough spot in here.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Indiana, I mean, Charlotte, they have something for players in the Big Ten. I'm pretty. Their scouting staff must just be regional because the last 3 years, that's the position they've drafted from the Big Ten, a power four, a stretch four, Zeller, then Bonley, and then now you can get Kaminsky. I saw the same bit of redundancy from the Sacramento Kings when they selected Ben McLemore and Stauskas in back-to-back years, similar size, similar body frames. They were talking about those guys being able to play together. They also took Jimmer Vredette in the first round. He's out of the league. And they took Isaiah Thomas, the last pick in the second round, and he's going to lead the Celtics in scoring this year.
Stauskas.
So those decisions do come back to bite you, and I do think they're going to regret not taking Moutier to Sacramento.
And do you think that, like, I'm curious to get your thoughts on Stauskas because he's a Michigan guy. You know, you probably watch a little bit more of him than a lot of other people was. He was in studio with us a couple of weeks ago, and he talked a little bit about his time and how he was really looking forward to going to the Sixers and having a fresh start. You think that he turns it around there, or he's going to have a tough time?
These are the years for the proving ground, and this is where you decide if you're going to be, you know, a player in the league, a starter, an all-star. Like you start to find yourself earlier in your career now. Remember, the NBA, it's only up to 450 jobs. The 30 that come in the first round every year, they're taking 30 out. Approximately 80 players that were in the league last year won't be in this year. That's how this works. And because of that, not only Stauskas, but my other fellow Michigan alums, Tim Hardaway Jr., now injured reserve with
Robinson,
the Atlanta
third.
Hawks, and Trey Burke.
Okay.
And Lynn Robinson III. All of those guys are looking to find their way. Mitch McGarry, when you talk about situations, did he fall in a better situation? Yes, he did. He had medicinal issues at Michigan and had to leave school, fell in the draft, and all of a sudden he falls to the Oklahoma City Thunder, one of the best organizations in the league.
Yeah, and he gets to
learn
from
guys.
So,
where did Stauskas end up? He ended up in the lottery, got picked by the wrong team. Now he's playing where? On the worst team, arguably, in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, I don't think there's
and
an argument there.
Now he got hurt, too, which is just that's brutal for a guy like that to have it. But do you think that ultimately, though, that he's going to be a guy? You talk about the holy grail of pro sports being you become a vet. Is Nick Stauskas going to be a vet, period?
Yeah, he's going to be a vet because he can handle and he can shoot it from deep.
Yeah.
And I do think he's going to have staying power in the league. But, again, you got to find the right fit, and that's why that's so important.
How about Anthony Bennett?
Anthony Bennett's a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. I think Toronto was his last stop. Just like for Austin Rivers, he was on his way out.
That's right.
Got drafted in the lottery, didn't work out with New Orleans, went to Boston, didn't work out. Luckily for him, he got a father in high places that
exactly.
also is coaching the team.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Anthony Bennett has a dad who is a coach GM of any teams in the league. He might be a little screwed there. That's going to be a tough one for AB.
That's a tough thing. Those are the life lessons that people don't discuss in professional sports. These are still young people in their early to mid-20s that go from playing basketball every day and it being their passion and their job for most of, not all of their early adult life. And then all of a sudden, you, probably having to go find another career and or job.
Hey, you know, so Jalen, I mean, talking about kind of finding the right fit and how everything is circumstance, and we talk about that all the time on the show with players and whatnot. I mean, it really is about finding your role in the right situation. And we were talking about the Raptors earlier, this season's Raptors. You look at a guy like Damari Carroll, it just seems like he's really found a home for himself in Toronto.
Another guy who became a vet.
Exactly. A guy who became a vet, learned who he was, learned who he wasn't. And you see his impact on the team, I mean, right away after one game through training camp and whatnot. I want to ask you, you know, in your career, I mean, was there a point where kind of one guy came onto a team and just totally changed the culture, walked into that locker room, just totally changed the vibe of the organization like we might be seeing Carroll do right now?
Well, I was fortunate because when I played for the Nuggets, we had Mutombo. He went on to be a Hall of Famer, so he was an anchor, a defensive player of the year candidate every year.
And someone you did some interesting runs for.
Reggie Miller, who was there his entire career.
Reggie, yeah.
So Carroll, in this instance, you guys said it, a veteran. He's actually a guy to get paid to play professional basketball. Okay, he can dribble, he can pass, he can shoot, he can defend. What do you want me to do, coach? Okay, you want me to guard a 1-2? Okay. You want me to guard a 3-4? Okay. And you need those type of players because he's not only playing to his personality, but more importantly, that is actually his skill set. Okay? So now we can free up DeMar DeRozan to slash and drive, to slash and shoot the three and try to be one of the top scorers in the league. Now you can allow Kyle Lowry, if he gets going and the perimeter player on another team gets going, instead of he or DeRozan having to guard him, now you can put Carroll on him. That is what a team is. And now they have that flexibility and that versatility. I'm still waiting on Ross to break out. He's shown flashes. I like his athleticism. He can be explosive. He's shown he can make the three. He's really streaky. But he's got to show that he can be more consistent.
Yeah, I mean, he's a real question mark. I mean,
I wouldn't hold your breath on T-Ross. That just
he'll get his chance here. I mean, he'll get the opportunity. It's almost like Stauskas. Like, I don't know how many years he has left.
A little bit, though. Like, I know he's still a young guy, and he does have all those intangibles, but you just, like, even the other night, you see him come in and just picks up three quick fouls in, I think, 3 minutes and misses an open three, and it's just like, that seems to be the guy.
I got an example for you.
Okay.
That Terrence Ross could go on to be.
Yeah.
All right? Because this is where we talk about fit. His name is Derek Williams. Now he's playing with the Knicks.
Killing it, yeah.
All right, I was talking about him the last few years because he needs to be on a team that doesn't run a conventional offense the way teams play today, spread four around one. He can't be a stretch four because he can't really shoot or defend fours, but he's athletic. So now you put him in the triangle where they play 12 to 15 feet, 18 feet in, a lot of drive, slash, cut, dump passes. Now he's hanging on the rim with blonde streaks in his hair.
Yeah,
I didn't even realize he changed his hair color to the other day.
Yeah, better hair, him or George Hill? That's both pretty bad.
Tough question.
It's a push.
Yeah.
Push.
Yeah, when you start it off as a joke and you keep it, I think it stays there. I actually hope that Derek Williams, that thing kind of continues, because one of my worst takes ever was when the Cavs took Kyrie Irving. I was like, man, they should have taken Williams. That guy was a stud at Arizona. I really like him. I'm not sure about Irving. We've all seen kind of how that played out. Last one for me on this Raps team. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm not in an NBA front office right now. I know.
Shocking.
Whoa. I was on a Raptors team that drafted Rafael Araujo.
I could have made that pick. I could have done that
in
one.
In the top 10.
Oh, God, don't remind us, man.
But hey, but then we were talking about this the other day, but then he had one shining moment in a Raptors uniform. That's when he picked a fight with Bonzi Wells in Sacramento.
Yeah, I probably was there and don't remember.
It's probably because you blacked that out. You don't want to have any Rafael Araujo memories. Neither do we, quite frankly. The last kind of storyline with the Raptors this season, I mean, like, other than them kind of developing as a team and getting out of that second round, is DeMar DeRozan. And with all this money that's flying around right now, and his game he's kind of a tough guy to judge, right? Like, he's not your conventional two guard. He's somebody that's a little bit more old school, loves that mid-range game, likes to get to the line, draws a lot of fouls. But do you think that he's a Toronto Raptor next year? We talked to Masai Ujiri. They're not negotiating with him during the season. To me, it feels like the writing might be on the wall that he could be on his way out.
I think they find a way to get it done.
Yeah.
Because I do know what his game is. His game is he want to get buckets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he's scoring, he's going to get in a defensive stance. He's going to rebound.
Hmm.
He's going to be a lot sharper, giving up a good shot to get a great shot. He's going to be more efficient. When he's not making shots, he's like a lot of young players. He doesn't necessarily continue to do those intangibles. I've seen him get more consistent over the last couple of years, and I know people see the money getting thrown around to Tristan Thompson and other players. That just shows how much money is actually in the game. Remember, the teams are required to pay a percentage of what they make to the players. So they only are paying what they have. So in this market, if a six-man like Thompson for the Cleveland Cavaliers can get that kind of money,
yeah,
DeMar DeRozan is worth it, and I, in my opinion, should get it.
So yeah, you would build. We'll see. So you would build your team though around a guy like DeMar DeRozan if you're Toronto. You would do it.
You're not building your team around him.
Yeah.
He's becoming one of your pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have multiple players that can get it done this year. Like, in today's NBA. Look at the Golden State Warriors. Look how many players on their team making over $10 million. Steph Curry is one of the lower-paid starters.
Yeah, that contract's ridiculous.
It's just bad timing for him, right?
Yeah.
It's just money in the game. Draymond Green, a second-round pick, was making $900,000 last season. He just signed for an $80 million deal. He wasn't even starting this time last year.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild, but it's true. You can carry more than one max-type contract now. I mean, it's just a reality. You can have DeRozan and a Lowry and another piece and move forward with that.
Look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. Three contracts.
They just got $80 million to come off the bench. They already paying Love, LeBron.
They're kind of
there's y'all getting over $10 million a year.
That's right.
They're kind of a different story though, because like they have LeBron and they know they have to win now, so they're going to pay whatever in the luxury tax they want, right? It's just like they know they have a window. They know they have to get this done.
But
so.
why not go for it if you're any team? I mean. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Raptors should. They got lots of money. We know that much. That MLSE, like, the pockets are deep there.
You got to spin and win in sports. We all know that. And that's one of the things the Raptors did really well this summer, adding Carroll. He's going to become a fan favorite. I'm letting everybody know this right now.
Oh, he already is. It's been less than a month in a Raptor uniform. Yeah, he already is. There's no question.
He took the JYD 2.0 nickname, and he's running with it.
Like crazy.
Well, and JYD is my guy. He's doing a really good job coaching high school.
Yeah, he's out in Vegas.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay, but I will say this. When it comes to skills, those two players are nothing alike.
Yeah.
JYD couldn't score in the post.
Yeah.
He didn't have a soft touch, but he did hustle after every loose ball. He did go after every rebound, but he wasn't a double-figure scorer, and he couldn't shoot threes. Amari Carroll is actually a complete perimeter National Basketball Association player.
No question. And we got to say that JYD is also doing killer work, kind of helping to run that pipeline from Canada to Vegas and to some of those prep schools in that area. A lot of players coming down there from Canada and having a lot of success, like Tristan Thompson we were just talking about.
That's my guy. I always joke with him about congratulating him about being on team. Get your teeth fixed. He needs to get his done, too.
Awesome. Nice.
Again, we're talking to Jalen Rose. Book has got to give the people what they want. True stories and flagrant opinions from center court. And Jalen, we wanted to, before we closed out, we wanted to give a shout-out to your Leadership Academy, the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy.
Unreal.
Tuition-free public charter school in Detroit. Just want to ask you quickly before we go where people can donate or find out more about that.
Please go to jrladetroit.com, and I definitely appreciate you guys mentioning our school. We have 415 current students. We had our first graduating class in June. 100% of our college graduates got accepted to post-secondary education, and we're not just focused on graduating the young men and young women from high school, but we're also committed to make sure that they graduate from college, and we're also owning the data. So we're really proud of the things that are happening at JRLA, and we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Congrats on that, Jalen. It's really cool. And we've covered that in our magazine and online in the past. If you hit up sportsnet.ca and search for it, we've talked about your school there, because it is a really, really impressive thing you got going on there. Again, Jalen, thanks so much for taking the time, man. All the best. Good luck with the book. It's great.
Yeah, man. We really love
my
it.
My pleasure. Thanks for the love.
this is Terrence Ross, and you're listening to Free Association.
This is Free Association. Thanks so much again to Jalen Rose. What a stud. Like, can't believe he gave us that much time. I really was a bit shocked that he was able to hang around with us.
You know, I can definitely believe it, because if there's anything we know about Jalen Rose, it's that the guy likes to talk.
Yeah, he's a bit of a windy fellow, that's for sure. He does like to have the chat. You were saying something to me in the break, though, that I was kind of laughing at. You like those teams.
I love the Jalen Rose era in Toronto. I mean, they're on the court, it was awful basketball. I think, was that the year when they went like 1-18 or 1-16 to start?
That was one of his years. That was it.
But I mean, you just talk about like an entertainment factor. There was always the Ray Ferguson controversy, Sam Mitchell doing his thing. I mean, he talked about it in the interview, the Kevin O'Neill era. I mean, there's just good times. That's my kind of basketball. I love that.
I know.
Never a dry moment.
I just wanted to say to our radio only audience, for those of you that haven't heard us before, like, that is the most Dave Zarum. That's Dave Zarum for you. Like,
nice to meet
he's
you.
He's going to like the terrible stuff, and he's gonna want to talk about
it. You can't tell me you didn't have fun watching those years.
He's gonna be like, Golden State Warriors, not very interesting to me this year. Brooklyn Nets, however, let's talk about them for a little bit. The one thing we mentioned in that interview that ended up being very timely for us is Terrence Ross. Jalen believes in Ross, and apparently so do the Toronto Raptors, because they go out and they hand him a 3-year extension at the deadline, basically, for 10.5 per. So Jalen's guy, I guess, Terrence Ross, gets the extension. I know you and I have mixed feelings about this.
Well, I think there's value in Terrence Ross. The contract, you know, I like the terms of the deal. The 3 years I particularly like, because it gives you insurance. I mean, if it doesn't work out, you got an asset you can trade within 2 years. If it does work out, you got a guy who's going to be around for a few years. And the money, I don't mind either, because, you know, I feel like we shouldn't need to keep repeating this after the summer. But in the new cap era, you know, $11 million is the new $7 million.
It's still money, though. Like, it's still real money. This isn't like a complete bargain of a deal, I would say.
So they're banking on Ross getting better, right?
Sure. And so this is kind of where I tweeted last night that I don't think it's the worst deal because of some of the things you said. And also, let's not forget, DeMar DeRozan is a unrestricted free agent after this year. It gives you a little bit of room to play with in terms of what your future at the two position.
I'm glad you brought that up, because actually we have a tweet that was sent in, a question on Twitter. I mean, you can always hit us up. I'm at Dave Zarum. He's at JD Bunkus. Or you can just hashtag Free Association. And Kevin Smith tweeted in. He asked, not that Kevin Smith.
Wow, the profile of the show already.
Kevin Smith, huge Free Association fan, almost as big a fan as JD is of Mallrats. But no, a different Kevin Smith, he jumped in and he asked, what do you think of the Terry Ross signing? First of all, I love the fact that you're calling him Terry Ross.
Yeah, I saw Eric Kareen tweeting that earlier today, Terry Ross.
Oh. Well, let's pretend it was Kevin Smith. That's more fun. But then he asks, can he replace DeRozan next season? To which I think, I mean, no way. That's ridiculous. Well, no offense, Kevin. Keep the questions coming, but one is nuts.
Okay, let's put it this way. He could, because, as Kevin Garnett says, anything is possible!
okay, fine. Under the Kevin Garnett laws.
But is it probable? Absolutely not. And this is, okay, this is where it's good, because this can kind of lead back into my thought about this, which is that, yes, escalating money, there's more money coming in, and the cap isn't the same, and it's $11 million isn't what it used to be, but it's still $11 million, and you're handing this to a guy that has been, like, what would you label, what would be the word you'd use to describe Terrence Ross? Inconsistent? Underwhelming?
No, here's, when viewing this contract, first of all, I know you don't like his defense,
I hate his defense.
And I wouldn't bank on that really getting considerably better, but if you want to use one word to describe Terrence Ross, especially, like, in this new era of his new contract, Terrence Ross, it's shooter. That's
the word. I would say streaky. Maybe.
But they're paying him to be a shooter.
Sure. Okay. Let me hit two quick things here.
Okay.
One is the defense that you mentioned, and you say that it won't get better. It has to get better. He's too quick. He's too long. He's too athletic to not be better on that end. He has to be smarter. He's been terrible off the ball. He hasn't been able to stay in front of his guys. I think that he was the worst Raptors defender on the perimeter last season, and that's saying something on a team that had Lou Williams and Gravis Vázquez. Like, that's a real impediment for you if you're going to go build around a guy in the...
But they're not building. Shooter. They're not building around Terrence Ross. He's a piece going forward.
Sure, he's a piece going forward.
He's not DeMar DeRozan.
This is a guy who, yes, he stroked the ball really well from the corners, especially. The three ball is there. I don't rely on this guy as a scorer. I just don't think that he does enough things consistently. Like, he's shrunk in big moments. He doesn't get to the free throw line. He just he finds a way. He's always a guy that seems to be trying to shoot tough baskets. So I'm not crazy about this deal, but I will say that I don't think it's the worst thing ever.
So, and I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, it's not he's got to prove a lot to make this worth it. But that being said, you can't fault it too much. I understand why they would do it, because first of all, he's going to get paid more than that in free agency, and you're not going to want to match
that. Okay, but do you really think that some team was going to come in and swoop in and give him that much money?
Yes. Yeah, I think, 12 million, 13 million, I totally believe that. You got to remember, other teams don't see him day in, day out.
Well, that's what they're hoping. Their belief is that he is going to improve the season and justify a bigger money deal from
somebody
else.
They're paying the guy to shoot, and frankly, when you look at the numbers, there's only 8 guys who have shot at least 38%, which is what he shoots, and made more than 163s over the last 2 seasons. He's one of them. So, too, is Steph Curry. Kyrie Irving's in that class. So there are things he brings to the table, and yes, that's what the Raptors are paying for.
He is in that class. Terrence Ross, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, same guy.
No, I'm just talking about shooting.
Before we move to the end of the show.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes here, but it's a big week for the Raptors, who head out on the road now. A lot of road games in the first month of the season.
Well, now they got 10 of 12. And like I said before, these include trips to Dallas, OKC, Miami, Golden State. There's also a couple a little bit more cupcakey ones on there, but those are the tough ones to me. And I think that, we're going to learn a lot about this team and how quickly they're going to be able to mesh as a unit.
And you know what, Dwayne Casey actually was speaking about this road trip and what the Raptors are facing.
This road trip is going to be a bear. We got to go in with a bunker mentality. We got some quality teams, coming up at third place, hot gyms. So this is going to be a good test for our mettle.
Yeah, so classic Dwayne Casey
hot
stuff
gyms
right there. Like, that's probably I bet you if we played the quote from last year's road trips of similar length, he would have had basically the same thing. Maybe not the bear thing. That seems new. But yeah, it's going to be a tough trip for the Raptors. The one thing I'm going to kind of be keeping my eye out on is whether the Patterson three-point efficiency can continue. I don't think that it's going to be quite this rate, but here's a guy who in the preseason was really struggling. He was shooting 30%. And now he's had 5 attempts in each game, and he's knocked down 8 of them. So he's looking really good as that stretch 4. I really like him in that role. I still don't think you rule him out all season long as not being the starter, but they need him to be able to be that stretch 4.
And he's been impressive so far. I think he is turning it around. The preseason was weird. It was bizarre. That wasn't the guy who we were used to seeing. So it's cool to see him back on track. For me, it's obvious what we got to look at on this next road trip, the next 4 games at least. Wednesday night in Oklahoma City. That's your first test of the season in my mind. So we'll see how that plays out. It's not going to be easy. Westbrook and Durant are killing it. But so are a lot of the Raptors.
No respect for Carlisle and his math. None.
No, not yet. Listen, thanks for joining us here for the full version of this show, including an extended version of the Jalen Rose interview, Terry Stotts one-on-one talking about Dwayne Casey, who's a close friend of his.
And congratulations, Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, congrats,
please bury
Dwayne.
That.
So a lot of extra good stuff on the podcast, which again, you can find on iTunes. It's called Free Association. He's called JD Bunkus.
Don't
call me Dave Zarum.
Don't forget to come to Tall Boys this Thursday, 8 p.m.
Ooh, yeah.
Enter the promo code Bunkus Loves Beer, Zarum. Our technical producer, Emil Delich's last name, which is D-E-L-I-C. Whichever one of those things will get you in for free. That includes a steam whistle. Come out. It'll be a really fun night. I promise to get inebriated. That's always fun. Dave,
all right.
Dave, not so much, but I will be for sure.
We'll find out. You'll have to find out on Thursday. We'll see you then. We'll see you on iTunes, and we'll see you here next week.
If you're listening to the podcast, let's keep the show going. We'll be right back.
Hi, DeMar DeRozan of Toronto Raptors, and you're listening to Free Association.
And now for those listening online, let's keep it going. JD, you know who Terry Stotts is? I feel like the mood just lightened up a bit here. Now we're on the internet.
The internet. Oh.
I gotta bleep that.
Wait. Let's confirm.
In any event, listen, Terry Stotts, Blazers coach, that team is a hot mess, but they're kind of on their way back. I had a chance to catch up with Stotts recently talked about the Blazers, talked about Ed Davis. Remember Ed Davis?
Nope, not at all.
What could have been in Toronto with Ed Davis?
What did you mean that they're kind of coming back?
Who?
The Blazers.
No, I said they're a mess.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, like,
mess.
No, eventually, like within the next 5 years or so.
They hope.
Stumbling on my words.
Although, hey, CJ McCollum, fantasy owners everywhere.
I talked to Stotts about McCollum. Yeah, he's killing it. Terry Stotts was like, this is going to be our guy going forward. Like, Lillard and McCollum is their team right now. I talked to Stotts about all that, but also Dwayne Casey. I mean, he's really close friends with Casey, who we just saw kind of make history here in Toronto. And also, obviously, he's close with Flip Saunders as well. Rest in peace. So let's get into that right now. This is Terry Stotts on Free Association.
Just with you.
All right, this is Free Association. We are thrilled to have on the line Terry Stotts, head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, I'm happy that the season is now here and we don't have to talk about, waiting for it and play the waiting game anymore. I mean, it must be, I can't imagine as a coach how agonizing it is to not be able to see your guys out on the floor and know exactly what you got until this time of year.
Well, I think between the players coming back in September and having a full month in October and seven or eight preseason games, I think most coaches have a good idea of their team.
Fair
and,
enough.
And where they are, but you're right, it's nothing like getting into the real regular season.
And listen, I mean, for you guys, I mean, a ton of change in Portland, obviously, this summer. Departures of LaMarcus Aldridge, big news. Also, Nick Batum and Wes Matthews, obviously. I mean, big parts of your team are gone, which means it's, in a lot of ways, kind of a new-look Blazers team. And I want to ask you with regards to that. I mean, as the coach, how much are you, and I know you're in touch with, you're in constant contact with the GM, Neil Olshey, but how much are you looking for guys who kind of fit your system, or how much do you have to, are you forced to kind of tweak what you do based on the players, the new players coming in?
Well, once LaMarcus decided to go to San Antonio, we switched gears, and Neil did a outstanding job of being prepared either way, whether LaMarcus came back or didn't. And we decided to put together a roster of young players who basically are on the same career arc as Damian Lillard. And so if you look at our roster, almost all our players are between 20 and 27 years old, and I think the best years are ahead of them. So, you know, as far as a team and franchise standpoint, it wasn't necessarily about looking for a specific type of player as far as fitting my system as much as it was to find young players that had yet to reach their potential, and that's what we're looking for this year.
And it is kind of a lesson in how to rebuild on the fly, so to speak. But making that easier is the fact, I mean, you mentioned him, Damian Lillard. He's a guy who, you know, I spent a lot of time with him before his rookie season, after you guys drafted him for a profile we did here in Sportsnet Magazine, which is kind of like Sports Illustrated in Canada. But anyways, I mean, we all know how good of a player he is, but he's a quality dude as well, for lack of a better way to put it. Like, between his ears, there's a lot to like there. How much does that make it easier to kind of, like I said, rebuild on the fly?
Well, when you have a player like Damian, you know, it's so important in this league, and actually for most teams, is that the leadership and the work ethic of your best player goes a long way and makes your job easier as a coach. And naturally, he's a very talented player. He's been a two-time All-Star and Rookie of the Year, and to build around a player who kind of epitomizes what you want to continue with your culture is very important. And, you know, he has more responsibility this year, being the best player on the team. And I think that having a player like him makes it easier for not only me, but for Neil to build around.
And he's a guy who's asking to be that number one player. I mean, he's not shy about that. I mean, he's talked about that being his goal. Like I said, like before he even played an NBA game, he knew kind of he had that in him. So you talk about a guy getting an opportunity.
Well, he has, as I mentioned, a great work ethic, and everything that he's gotten so far, he's earned. He's been a player who wasn't really highly recruited out of high school.
Yeah.
He went to a small school, and he's always had a chip on his shoulder, and he's every time there's been a challenge, he's risen to that challenge and been very successful. So, everybody can see the how talented he is and how important he is to us on the court. But I think the intangibles of his leadership and his work ethic are going to mean as much or more this season for us.
And he's going to be just a ton of fun to watch this year with the kind of freer reins I'd imagine. Listen, I want to talk about a little bit about Dwayne Casey here in Toronto. I know you guys have a relationship going years and years back, but real quick first, just looking at a couple other guys on your roster. We talk about guys with more opportunities now than ever. CJ McCollum is one of the first names that comes to mind. You know, last year, I know when he played more than 25 minutes, the team did really well. I'd imagine he'll get that shot, those kind of minutes, a little more often this year.
Oh, he's going to have a much larger role with our team, and he's paid his dues in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, he's had some injuries in both his years, his rookie year and second year, that kind of got him behind the curve a little bit. But, you know, I'm looking for a lot from CJ. I think he's really worked hard to put himself in this position. He's ready for the responsibility that he's going to have. We're going to need him to be a scorer. He's going to be our backup point guard when Damian's out of the game. And he's, you know, he's worked hard to put himself in this position.
And, you know, another guy is, and Raptors fans know him very well. And again, we talk about replacing LaMarcus Aldridge. You're not replacing him with one guy or two guys or whatever the case is. But someone, a new body you brought in at that position is Ed Davis, who, you know, here in Toronto, we saw him his first few years in the league. Tons of potential, really good rebounder. I think he's the guy who's struggled to find his kind of niche so far in the NBA. What's your conversations been like with Ed at this point in the season? What do you expect from him throughout the year?
You know, Ed's been terrific. He's, as you mentioned, he's found his niche in the league. He knows what he can do. He's established himself as a hard worker, a very good rebounder, a good defensive player. Offensively, he knows what he needs to do to be successful. He works the paint. He's very good in pick and rolls, and he has a quiet confidence about him. You know, he's not a big talker, but certainly he carries himself with confidence, and he's gained the respect of all his teammates already.
Yeah, and his old man, I think, played in the NBA, so he's kind of knows, has that familiarity. Obviously, he's been in the league for a few years now. I'd imagine, though, he's going to split some time with Noah Vonleh, who's only in his second year now?
Yeah, he was drafted a year ago, okay. And, you know, we got him in the trade with Charlotte, and Noah is a young player with a high upside. And, you know, the thing that stands out with me so far with Noah is that he's such a hard worker and a good kid. I think he's really going to have a successful career just because of how hard he works and what he's capable of doing. You know, when you have a player like him at such an early age, I really don't want to limit him as far as saying this is who you are, this is what you need to do, because I think he's really a talented young man, and I'm anxious to see where his career takes him.
I mean, especially a guy who can do so many things. You know, I think that can be a detriment for some guys, but obviously it's a huge strength for most, having that kind of versatility and just those options. And I imagine as a coach, you know, that's what you're looking for in a guy. Or are you looking for guys who can just kind of fill their role?
You know, that's a good question, and it's a difficult answer, because so many players in this league make it because they have an NBA skill, and then they work
like
around
one
that.
Skill, yeah.
And but then, you know, you have players who are talented in a lot of different ways, and obviously the great ones are really good in a lot of different things. But, you know, a player like Noah, who can shoot with some range, he's good inside, he's a very good rebounder, he has, you know, kind of a subtle athleticism to him. He likes to bang inside, and like I said, he's a really he's an avid learner. He wants to be good, and he's working to become good.
So listen, I want to change gears a little bit. I mean, obviously a lot to be excited about in Portland, kind of looking forward after the big offseason. But here in Toronto, you know, there's been some changes as well. Look, they're kind of keeping the same core, but they've surrounded the Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozans of the world with defensive-minded guys like Damari Carroll, Bismack Biyombo, Corey Joseph. Now, you and Dwayne Casey go far back. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys were both assistants with the Sonics and on that championship Mavs team as well, right?
Yes, we were.
So, I mean, you guys are close, and I remember just being at Summer League and you guys noticing that you guys were, like, inseparable a couple of years ago. So I'd imagine
That's when we were both out of jobs.
Yeah, your kindred spirits.
Yeah.
But, you know, just when you, like, what was your conversations like with Dwayne over the offseason, and what do you think of kind of how his roster has transformed over the summer?
You know, I have such respect for Dwayne, and, you know, we go back 20 years back to Seattle. I think 94, 95 was his first year there, and you know, he's done such a terrific job in Toronto. You look at how they've improved every year, and their offense has gotten better every year. And he's, and you know, obviously he's a defensive coach, but he's shown how he can improve the offense as well. You know, I think they're poised. You know, they're poised to have a breakout year. I think they've become more and more solidified with their roster. I think the players are comfortable with Dwayne and what he wants to get accomplished, and just the familiarity of him and his system is going to, I think, the Raptors are going to have a fantastic season.
Now, you know, another thing that you guys have in common is that I believe you're both academic All-Americans at some point as a player. You know, back in Oklahoma, I was just doing some quick research. When you played in college, you were 79 and 80, I believe, academic All-American. I feel like we don't see that anymore. Do you know any reason why?
Well, there are academic All-Americans every year. I don't know if necessarily they get into coaching.
Yeah, fair enough.
Maybe that wasn't so smart. But, you know, it was, you know, I think, obviously, you go to university, and I think most players want to continue their career in some capacity as a player, and, and obviously they can't. But you know, balancing your schoolwork and your athletic responsibilities is something. And you know, I'm really proud of the fact that I was able to do both at Oklahoma.
Yeah, man, that's really cool. I mean, I think you got a lot of guys coming into college now looking at it as like my 1 or 2 year stop. At least when we talk about the names that we see on draft boards. And
well, Dwayne, neither Dwayne and I would have been good enough to do that anyway, so okay. We knew we had to study.
Yeah, fair enough. Sometimes you're forced into a situation, right?
Yeah.
Listen, last thing I wanted to touch upon was obviously we're all really saddened about Flip Saunders, the news that came out, I guess it was last weekend at this point. Terrible to hear. You never want to hear that happening to anyone, let alone someone that young. You know, coaching, it's a fraternity in the NBA. I'm sure you must have a great Flip Saunders story in you, or some kind of relationship between you guys.
Well, Flip was a fantastic coach, and that's you know, I think everybody knows that. But Flip and I go back to the CBA. You know, I was an assistant coach in Albany in 25 years ago, and he was the head coach with lacrosse. And you know, he was a coach's coach. You look at his resume; it speaks for itself at the different levels: college, CBA, and obviously the NBA. But I think the thing that impresses me the most is when you hear, after his passing, you hear about what so many of his players tweeted and talked about and said about him as a man, and how they helped him, how he helped them along the way. And I think that from a coaching standpoint, from a person standpoint, I think that's the ultimate compliment of a coach in this league.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a guy who left his mark. Listen, Terry, I really appreciate you taking the time with us today. Best of luck to Portland down the stretch, and hopefully we get to catch up with you again.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for having me.
All right, all the best. I get a constant busy signal when I call you on the phone. I get a strong, uneasy feeling you're not sitting there alone. All right, thanks again to Terry Stotts.
Good job by you.
Thanks, man.
I had to leave. I left you with, I was like, these are the things I want you to hit on.
It'll happen.
You knocked it out of the park. Congratulations. I really wanted to talk to you.
Clutch performer.
My job. Sometimes I have to do my job.
It's been a busy week on terrestrial radio for you, for good reason. But listen, let's go around the NBA a little bit before we call this a day. Your thoughts on the East, JD, because I'm pretty underwhelmed so far.
I mean, I never really thought that the East was going
to
be.
But they were supposed to be improved, and it was supposed to be, the competition was supposed to be better. I mean, I'm watching that Celtics game on Friday, and all I'm thinking is like, this is the big inner division rival is the Celtics. This is your big competition, because they just don't seem anywhere near. You know, I don't think the Raptors are finals bound, but the Celtics just seem like a non competitor. Is that a way to put it?
They're okay. Well, again, we always have to preface things with like, we're three games in. We don't.
I've
be
seen
too
enough
overreact.
To know. I've seen enough. The Celtics are garbage.
But. But I will say that I think that I still believed, and I said this before the season started, that some people were like, yes, Celtics were too deep at every position. They've got guys that can guard pretty much everywhere. They are also still working in a couple of things. Like, they're going to see how David Lee and Amir Johnson's minutes shake out, how that's all going to work out, a full season of Isaiah Thomas. I just think that they kind of lack that star power, that oomph to really put them over the top as like a real contender out
east. Yeah, Thomas is great, but he's not that guy.
I think the most interesting story for me so far would either be a tie between the Pistons and the Knicks. And the Pistons,
I will give you credit that you totally called this Knicks thing. They don't absolutely suck. They're actually maybe kind of good.
You
were saying that all summer.
I very, very much believe in the talent of Carmelo Anthony. I said from the jump that Kristaps Porzingis looks like he's a little further ahead.
You really went out of limb on that one. Carmelo Anthony, talented.
No, but guys are writing him off like he's just going to quit on this team from the day one.
For me, the questions were always about the guys around him.
Yeah.
Like, Melo's Melo.
That's the thing.
By the way, that's usually code that someone's like a real jerk.
Okay.
Like, if you ask anyone about me and they're like, well, you know, Dave's Dave.
Dave's Dave. Yeah,
that's not a good sign.
Yeah, that really is a jerk thing. I just think that
Melo, but I mean it in the nicest way.
But the guys around him, like they said, they didn't bring in any stars, but they brought in guys who can play. Like they brought in, we used the word with Jalen earlier, veterans. Like Robin Lopez, he is a veteran. He's a guy who knows how to get done. Aaron Aflalo, veteran. Kylo Quinn is like real. It sounds like I'm just trying to make up I was great for picking the Knicks stuff, but it really, and it's so much left to be proven whether they can keep this together. But as of right now, the Knicks look decent. But the one thing, I didn't see the Pistons like at all so far coming this way.
They're an example of, in my mind at least, this is unsustainable. Like, this will not last. But yeah, they're playing great right now. Stanley Johnson's been solid. Andre Drummond's just a monster. They're getting great production from the Morris twin, Marcus Morris.
They're very much like the Raptors right now.
Yeah.
Where they've got six of their net. I think they've got six games in 10 days, and it's a Western Conference road trip. So they're going to play Portland, Golden State, Sacramento, the Clippers, and the Lakers. So we'll get to know a little bit more about this team right now. But as of this moment, Andre Drummond is an absolute beast. He looks fantastic. You can't keep that guy off the glass, and he's great inside. Morris has been like kind of a really sneaky good pickup for them. I don't think that anybody kind of expected him to be quite this. And then KCP.
Yeah, he's been good. But he always has like stretches of 10 good games, and then he's cold for a little while. I want to talk about the West Coast before we walk out of here today, or the Western Conference rather, because we need to acknowledge what Steph Curry has done so far. And what, like, basically, do you think Steph Curry can sustain anything close to this?
Yeah.
Because I totally think he can.
Yeah, totally he can. He was the MVP last year. His team won the title.
If he feels justified, if he feels not justified, safe taking the shots he's taking, like coming up the court.
Which he does.
22 minutes left in the shot clock, 5 minutes into the first quarter, and he shoots it from 30 feet out. And you know, not thinking twice about it. If he's going to keep having that inner green light, which I think he is, I don't think any coach is going to stop him anytime soon. He's going to average 35 until Christmas at least.
I don't think he'll average that many points because he's a too good of a distributor and that team is too talented for him.
He's going to do it both.
I agree. This is the thing. I think that there's something, I think obviously we're not the first to say this, but there is an attitude around that team right now. Like, oh, the media, like there's the Bill Simmons show used always a nobody believes in us factor. And that's what's going on here, which is that they feel slighted by the national media. They feel slighted by their peers that because they got all those breaks injury-wise come the playoffs last year, that people kind of don't think that they're as great as they are and that Steph and co are a little bit of paper champions, that they got their ring because the field was weakened, not because they were special. And they're trying to show people, no, we're special. The other thing that's kind of interesting at West, is there anything to read into 0-3 for Pelicans so far? Another really sexy team. We mentioned
two of those games are against the Warriors,
yep.
Right? So I think that needs to be said. I guess the only thing for the Pelicans is that supporting cast really is pretty weak. Like, we knew it going in, but it's showing itself to be true.
And it's,
I think, you know what? Davis to me is on kind of a, so far just from his demeanor, from his body language and whatnot, he's kind of on DeMarcus Cousins' watch. In the sense of this guy might not be having a good time right now. You know, he's killing it, but he might be just taking out his frustration on everybody else because he does. You can't imagine he's looking around and saying like, "I'm good to go. We can be a contender."
So they got Drew Holiday back. He missed the first Warriors game, and then he comes back and he drops 22 and 6 against Golden State. It's a much more competitive game at least, even though it was still kind of a blowout. That third quarter was they really separated themselves in that Pelicans game. But I think that they're waiting on Tyreke Evans. Like, they're not waiting on three guys at this point to be coming back and, like, saving their season. Like,
Tyreke Evans, who's their second best player?
Probably. Nah, I think Drew Holiday is their second best player.
So, okay, I think it's a toss-up between those two, and either way, it's not a good sign.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. They're not exactly just a great group. Like you said it, like, I'm looking at their team right now. It's like Ashik, okay, he's a pretty nice big off the bench. And then after that, it's just like a murderer's row of who cares and Ryan Anderson. Like, is Alex Ajinsa really? A
murderer's row of who cares and Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just like, I don't know. I think that everyone had them so pegged to be like Anthony Davis. Everyone loves Anthony Davis so much that they want to see Anthony Davis flourish, and we want to see Anthony Davis in primetime games and absolutely killing it. But the problem is that, like, yeah, the guys around him really allow defenses to focus all their attention on him and say, hey, just beat us with those other guys. And as of right now, those guys aren't going to be able to get it done, not in that Western Conference.
Do you know what happened with Nate Robinson?
Yeah, they just cut him. He wasn't good.
Just one game, that's it? They're like, get out. We're going to replace you with Ish Smith?
Yeah, well, Ish Smith had already in that game played more minutes because, like, he was more effective. At least he
changed
his ends. But that
seems weird. Like, you're just going to cut him after one game? I think there's something... Well, I think there's more to it.
No, well, what it was they needed a guy to fill in because Drew Holiday couldn't play in that first game. And then they were getting Drew Holiday back. He wasn't on, like, long-term injury.
It was always going to be temporary.
Yeah, so Drew Holiday comes back. And they're like,
okay.
It just looks different because they were starting Nate and not Ish. So it was probably down between those two guys.
Detective Bunkus on the case.
Yeah, so that's all it is. Nothing too major. But yeah, so far, Pelicans kind of disappointed.
Listen, I'm just happy that basketball's back.
Oh,
it's so awesome. Good. NBA League Pass is ruining my life, but I love it at the same time. It's like an abusive.
You know what, though? It's so good to... abusive girlfriend? You get beat by your girlfriend's a wife? Yeah. Father? Like, I don't know. You sound like you're trying to, like, keep things buried deep down inside.
We gotta move on.
Yeah, exactly.
We just gotta move on.
I will say, the PVR is, like, a total lifesaver. Because, like, I have League Pass as well.
I don't have the PVR.
Oh, man. You got to be able to record games and fast-forward through commercials and halftime.
Then, like, it feels like work. Like, I'm coming home and I got, like, more work to do. Even if it is just basketball, it's like, oh, I got this thing scheduled.
For me, it's just like, oh, yay, this is all the things about PVR. Like, some nights you don't really exactly want to watch Hornets.
One good reason for PVR is I am the worst culprit. And there's plenty of reasons for it that I can't get into the show, but I'm the worst culprit for, like, changing the channel during the commercial break and never returning. You know, suddenly I'm on, like, an infomercial and I'm there for, like, 10 minutes and I'll never get back to the game. So I'll miss big stretches of important stuff.
So yeah,
maybe
it's not
PVR
good.
Is the way to go.
So don't watch.
Hey, I bet you Rogers can hook me up with a PVR. Come on. It's fair, right?
For what? What are they getting out of this deal?
I work for them, and I will. How about this?
So lots of people.
Rogers, hook me up with the PVR, and I'll keep working for you.
I think that they don't like ultimatums here. That's what I heard. That's
well, I'll book an appointment with Edward Rogers, but I hear he's kind of busy these days.
He is kind of busy. We got to do the Shapiro stuff. That's
all right. Listen, this has been fun. It's been cool. We're on the radio this week, and in podcast form. One of them you can catch on your dial on Sportsnet 590. AM on your dials. Hey, we didn't do enough traffic and weather updates.
We really didn't. Also, what we didn't do was we forgot to ask, like, Terry Stotts. I didn't know this until, like, I think today. Like, but I'm not really a mascot name knower. Sorry. I'm not, like, the Zach Lowe guy who knows everything about mascots. But, like,
his name is, I don't know.
I'm reading Blaze, the Trail Cat were the mascots at one point, and Blaze. How could, like, you're in Portland, Oregon, and you're nicknamed Blaze.
Yeah, it's just perfect.
It's so perfect. I love Blaze. I want a Blaze t-shirt. That's what I'm saying.
I also think the Blazers, that's the name of your team. It's incredible. It's great foresight. Or I guess it wasn't foresight. It was, when was that team established? The 70s, right? No coincidences
before,
there.
Before. But yes, no coincidence.
And I won't hear any of this Oregon Trail nonsense. That has nothing to do with it.
It's all about the reefer madness.
They smoke the reefer in Oregon and name their teams after it and their mascots. Okay, we got to go. On a completely unrelated note, I swear.
But you're glad we got in the Blaze talk.
Yeah, man. More of it next week. All right, this has been fun. You're listening to Free Association, and now you're not. See you.
Subscribe on
boys.
iTunes.
If you ever change your mind. This is about all of us. I love you, people.